Hey, welcome back to the all-new SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We're going to continue our compelling conversation with Jeff Pearlman, who has just released his new book, The Remarkable, Improbable, Iconic Life of Brett Favre. It is titled Gunslinger. Okay, so Jeff, though, when you spent time around his mom with Bonita, I mean, what did she have to share about her husband, about Big Irv?
She didn't talk, you know, it's not like she was volunteering information about that. She talked about sort of like, you know, like he was a horrible gift giver, which I always think is kind of a telling thing. You know, like he would give the same card multiple years. You know, he would just give her money and say, go buy something you like. He wasn't a horrible guy. I don't think he was a horrible guy. No one's black and white. But I think he just wasn't a very attentive husband in that regard, you know. And I called her later on and sort of talked to her about what I found and a little bit about what I felt like I had to write. And she was understanding. I'm telling you, she is maybe the best person I've ever met reporting a book. Wow. She's just really, really unique and understanding. And if you think about it, being Brett Favre's mom, right? So, yeah, you have the good times. You have the Super Bowls and your son is a superstar. Your son also was a Vicodin addict. Your son had alcohol problems. Your son almost died in a car accident. Her older son, Scott, was involved in a DUI where his passenger died. The sister was arrested multiple times. She's a great person, but she had legal problems as well. Then Brett Favre's with the Jets, and it comes out when he's with the Vikings that he was sending pictures of his private parts to a sideline reporter. Like, it has not been easy for the women in Favre's life, meaning Deanna, his wife, and Bonita, his mother. These are embarrassing, horrifying episodes that happened that they had to answer for it just because they were related to him.
I am just curious because, you know, as I was going through the book, I mean, why do you think she stayed with him?
It's a $1 million question. I would say the number one reason is she is devoutly religious, like a level of Christianity, faith in Christianity that few people, I think, truly have. I mean, she got pregnant with their daughter when they were both college age. So, and she just didn't believe in abortion. So it wasn't even an option for her. They were going to have a girl. And she just, like, she loved him and she believed in him. And she just did not really believe divorce was an option, even after all. I mean, to me, like, the whole thing with the pictures, 99 out of 100 wives are leaving. Don't you think?
Oh, yeah.
I just think 99, like, all right, you cheated on me. A lot of people do survive infidelity. And you had addiction issues. You know what? That's something we will go through together, right? Drinking, we'll go through that together. But the pictures was just humiliating. And it must have been for her a stab in the heart. And I just think, like, it is a mean thing to do to your wife. You know, it's a mean thing to put that person through.
New York Times bestselling author of 7 books, Jeff Pearlman, is with us tonight at the all-new SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We are shining the spotlight on his new book, The Remarkable, Improbable, Iconic Life of Brett Favre. It is titled Gunslinger. It is a must-read, a compelling read. Take us through as far as the sudden passing of Brett Favre's father at the age. He was only 58 years of age. It was devastating news. He died of a heart attack. And I'd love for you to share, you know, that Monday Night Football game where Brett Favre played so incredible, and he takes the stage and just really performs a miracle.
You know, I want to give you a compliment first, because we talked before I went on the air, and I told you this is probably my 838th interview, and that it gets tiring, but these are really good questions, and I really appreciate that you know the book.
Oh,
I know that
you.
Sounds dumb, but I really do.
Thank you.
Yeah, because a lot of people don't, you know, they don't have time to read it, and they ask off the sheet, which I understand, but this really is meaningful to me. Yeah, it's amazing. So, you know, for all the flaws that Favre had, he was still Brett Favre's dad, and Brett absolutely loved the man. And the Packers are in Oakland, and Brett's playing golf with Ryan Longwell and Doug Peterson in Oakland. And Deanna calls Peterson's phone, I think it was, with the news that Irv and Favre had a heart attack and drove off the road and died. And I actually found the woman. This was just pure sort of timing luck. I found the woman who was in the car behind him.
Wow.
When he died, and she actually ran up to the car and was the first one there when he drove off the road. And, you know, he didn't take good care of himself. That's another thing about Irvin. He didn't believe in going to doctors. He didn't eat healthy. He drank too much. So he dies of a heart attack. Brett finds out, and, of course, he is completely and totally devastated. And I interviewed the priest. There was a priest who was with him. The Packers had a priest who traveled with the team. And he spent a lot of time with Brett that afternoon slash evening, just sort of praying with him and talking about his dad. And, you know, they talked whether he should play or not play. And at first, Brett was not going to play. He just, the weight of it was just too much. And then he was going to, and then he was uncertain. And the priest told me when he left the room, he was pretty sure Brett wasn't going to play. And then they had a team meeting that night in a bar room in the hotel in Oakland. And Brett asked Mike Sherman, the coach, if he could address the team. He basically said, you know, to paraphrase, my dad loved football and he would want me to play. And I'm playing for him, but I'm also playing for you guys because I love this team and I believe in you guys. So I'm going to do it for you and for my dad. And, you know, before the game, the receivers all met and sort of agreed, made this pact that whatever Favre threw up in the air, they would get. Like, they were going to get every ball because there was people love, that's the thing. People loved Brett Favre. Uh-huh. He was not a disliked teammate. He was a beloved teammate in Green Bay for most of his years there, an absolutely beloved teammate who crossed racial lines, who crossed age lines. He really was. So the game begins, and he's throwing up these passes that are really high and really wide. And if you watch the tape, like Javon Walker made some of the all-time Lynn Swan-esque catches at.
Oh, yeah, I watched
amazing.
It. Amazing. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, amazing. And I'll tell you a really cool, really nugget from it is the sideline reporter on Monday Night Football just that year was Lisa Guerrero.
I remember, yeah.
Yeah, and I've known Lisa for a long time because we used to cover baseball together. At the same time, and I'd see her at different games in California. And I talked to Lisa, and she said she's on the sideline, and the Packers media team told her, Brett won't be doing interviews, so don't even ask, he's not going to be doing interviews. Of course, her job is to get that interview with Brett. So she's on the sideline, it's a fourth quarter, and she kind of tiptoes up to Brett when he comes to get some water. And she says, hey, Brett, is there any chance you'll talk to me after the game? And he says, yeah, okay. And she said, promise? Mm-hmm. He said, yeah, I promise. And the Packers media staff was livid, livid. And she gets Brett. And it was Lisa's, I would say Lisa's finest moment that season was her interviewing Brett Favre as he's near tears immediately after that game. And the emotion of that moment is something I think that is attached to Favre's legacy forever.
Yeah, didn't she say something like, it's one thing to play with a broken thumb, but to play with a broken heart?
Yeah, it was set. Seriously, it was a spontaneous line that
was
incredible.
So good.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it was so good.
It was. So how do you think, you know, the passing of his father, I mean, how did that change Brett, or did it, or was it years later? It seems like he's kind of had a spiritual renaissance when you watch the Hall of Fame speech.
I think it definitely made him reflect on, you know, mortality and sort of loss and what's important and what's not important. I mean, I've seen this with a lot of athletes where you get to this level of fame where you sort of overrate your own importance and you forget that what you do is throw a round ball or, you know, an oblong ball in the air and you get paid lots of money to do it. And then suddenly when you have something like this sort of close person die to you, it certainly makes you reflect and think about who you are and where you stand and what's important to you. So I think that was the number one thing it provided for him, was a real sort of chance to look at himself in the mirror and ask himself who he was.
So much more I'd love to get into with Jeff Perlman, New York Times bestselling author. This is a beauty. You definitely got to go out and get a copy of it. The Remarkable, Improbable, Iconic Life of Brett Favre. It is titled Gunslinger. You've got to have it in your library. Congratulations, Jeff. We look forward to another conversation. Look us up when you are in the great city of Houston, okay?
All right. Thank you so much.
You bet. Much more coming your way right here at the all-new SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show.